won't reflect a normal planning committee. It's quite different for those of you involved in the system. The National Planning Policy Framework has just been published. We all know it, or a lot of us know it. And I was desperately looking for reference to for system services. I know it's in there. It's paragraph 109, so we might be referring to that. It's only mentioned in passing, but it does say the planning system should contribute to and enhance natural and local environment by recognising the wider benefits of ecosystem services. So at least it's in there. Which is more than can be said for some other important planning matters. So Chatham House rules. Well, obviously we're very pleased to see the interest and the wide range of expertise this morning. And hopefully this afternoon we'll be seeing you as well. We see this as the practical edge to what Rob has been saying in terms of this new way of thinking and valuing ecosystem services. And we see it as a real opportunity, a practical opportunity to guide the spatial planning in Northern Devon. And it's come at the right time because we are working on a new version of the local plan. Those with short memories will remember it was called a core strategy up to, I think, March of this year. And before then, it was called a local plan. It's now called a local plan again. And it will be a Torridge and North Devon local plan, so it does cover a very large area. And it's going to be written in the context of best practice advice, including a National Planning Policy Framework. We've got, if you like, a confluence of land, sea and sky special designations here. So there's a real opportunity. You'll hear a lot about the UNESCO Biosphere Reserve. On a clear day, it's over in that direction. Well, it's still over that direction, yeah. But you can't see it today. But you can see glimpses on a clear day. So we've also got the Marine Conservation Zone, so that's a seaside. And we've got the Dark Skies Reserve, which is a recent initiative, prompted particularly by Exmoor. That's fine, so we have these unique designations, and Juliet in particular will be looking at those. That's as far as it goes, but how does that actually influence spatial planning and our planning policies? And that's a real challenge for us. So what we're looking to do, specifically in terms of the Northern Devon perspective, is how do we integrate these principles and objectives into planning policy? And that's in the context of this wider ecosystem services approach. How do we do that? How do we recognise, if you like, the value, and that's market and non-market value, of ecosystem services? And how do we identify the opportunities to deliver that value through the planning system? And then, if you like, looking to put the environmental perspective onto an economic footing, rather like Stern did, of course, with climate change, how do we actually look to identify economic opportunities to move the local economy onto a greener footing? Because whatever may be said at the end of the day, this is about sustainable development, and the NPPF has tried to define what is sustainable development. And up to a point, it was the three E's, of course: the economy, the environment, and equity, social capital. It was in danger of becoming three E's, but economy, economy, and economy. And so I think we've moved slightly back to recognising the environment at least. But it's pretty clear that the central thrust of government policy is about sustainable growth. So we've got to recognise opportunities to move the economy and recognise the economy in terms of putting it onto a greener footing. So that's what the further challenge for ourselves is. The spatial planning should deliver economic regeneration. But let's put it onto a greener footing. Just a couple of final points. You may have heard in the press recently, last week, the outcome of the independent panel on forestry, the final report. It's interesting reading, because it does reflect, if you like, topically, how important ecosystem services can be used to drive national policy. And it's well worth looking at that report. Ecosystem services is mentioned many times within the report. And what it's saying essentially is it's recognising the approach, the validity of it, and its message, if you like, to sustain rather than a role of natural capital. That's coming through very clearly. And just a quote from page 8 of the report, to ensure that land use creates a coherent and resilient ecological network at a landscape scale. And what we might be coming on to today, and I'm not sure, but I'm speaking as a geographer and to a geographer as well, scale is important, the spatial scale, and how do we knit the different scales together. So landscape change, that's fine, but there's a lot of organisations, a lot of different strategies that will be impacting on different scales of landscape. The report notes we tend to take ecosystem services for granted, and it fails to recognise that the cost of providing them by other means can be far more than we would otherwise anticipate. So it's this economic argument, which Stern so successfully promoted in respect of climate change, we need to recognise that. And it does actually come up on pages 58 and 59 with specific policy recommendations in terms of land use policy, but in respect of woodlands. But nonetheless, it's an interesting read, and it does actually give some proper guidance in respect of other areas of the environment we could be interested in. So that's something I'd like to refer to, but it has at least brought it up to the agenda nationally. So there's real recognition for that. So I will leave it there, Rob. It'd be nice to say what we want to do from our side. I will be attending, hopefully, most of the day.
Okay, great.